scripture reading is taken from two passages here. And the first one is Genesis chapter 2. Could you please turn to Genesis chapter 2? Chapter 2, let me read to you from verse 8 to 18. Genesis chapter 2, from verse 8 to 18. Verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from then it was parted, and became into four heads. The name of the first one is Pison, that is it which compasses the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good, and there is Delium and the onyx stone. And then the name of the second river is Gihon, the name, the same is it that compasses the whole land of Utopia. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel, that it is which goeth toward the east of Assyria. And the fourth river is Euphrates. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him. Here ends the reading. The next one is taken from Luke chapter 2. Sorry, Luke chapter 23. And just one verse, a very familiar verse to all of us here. Luke chapter 23, verse 43. And Jesus said unto him, and this is the want of the dying criminal that was hanging on the cross with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto him, this dying thief, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Maybe I read the verse 42 for you. And this dying thief said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. May the Lord bless this reading of his holy word. Now I greet all of you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is soon coming again. Every day I'm looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time when I pray, I would quite often mention, Lord, when are you coming back? And I believe that many of us want to be with him, want him to come back, and so we can be with the Lord. And I think his coming is very soon. If you are a diligent Bible study student, and you know Christ is coming soon. Please be comforted and please be happy. And so, are you always happy in the Lord? Are you? Let the joy of the Lord, who is the Lord? You know that the Lord God is almighty. And the fact that you know who he is, his greatness and goodness, that knowledge, and that you are his child, his precious child, even to send the Lord Jesus Christ to die for you, and that he will not withhold anything that is good for you. He will not withhold it. Having known this knowledge which is revealed to us, there should be this joy of the Lord, this joy in our hearts. and may this joy be your strength. Let the strength of the joy also be, the strength of the Lord be your joy in your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ has said that He will never what? Forsake you. Yes, in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, He said, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, be content with such thing as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Indeed, none of God's children will stand at the street outside here begging for bread. None. Jesus Christ said, He will never forsake you. So let the joy of the Lord be our strength. Your strength, my strength. In your heart you should say what? Amen. Amen. You should. Understand? Be happy. If you are asked, what will the world be like in the next 20, 50, 70, 100 years later? What would it be like? Will the world keep on existing, rotating on its own axis 24 hours a day, and then round, rotating round the sun 365 a day, non-stop, indefinitely? In other words, will the world keep on existing like this? Some may say yes, and I think many people in this world, all the leaders of the nations of this world, will say yes. They all believe that this whole universe, this world, will carry on and on and on and on and on. And they are planning ahead. They are talking of 2020, 2030, 2050, one even 2070, 2050. They are planning because they say that, well, life will go on, continue like this as before. Some may say no. Well, some may say no. If they are not Christians, they may see that the world is full of trouble. For example, global warming already has happened, and it means a lot of things. Many things are dying because of what happened to this world. And so one day people will die, not only animals, and slowly people will die, and then maybe the world just die that way. Well, some people may answer no. Others may answer, I don't know. This is one way of copping out, I do not know. But anyway, so what? If it happens, it happens. All it will happen to everybody. If the world is gone, there's no more, the world does not exist like this, and then everything goes off, it doesn't matter. It happens to everybody. I'm just one of them. So, live. I just live and let live. Some people may answer that way. So this probably sums up the man's worldview, what they consider to be about this world. In that case, that all things will continue as they were from time immemorial. They say millions of years, whatever time they said in the past, from day one till now, everything function as before, as usual. But the point, and then when we live here, alright, we live, we do our best, and then we die, and that's the end, because after that there's nothing else. So our life is only on this earth. You're born, you live on this earth as many years as you can. In Singapore, the average age is about 78, 80 years old already. And so, and you die, and that's the end. But what does the Bible say? The most important thing, what does Scripture say? What does God say? What is the Christian view of the world? Are you having the same view as the world's view? Life is only here and now, and live this life. Everything is like before. And then when we die, and many of us Christians say that when we die, well, I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. It's okay. And so as far as my salvation is concerned, it's there, intact. And then you don't want to know anything more. So, but what does the Bible say? What is the Christian view? Are all things going to continue as they were from the beginning of creation? What has God revealed in His Word in answer to these questions? What is God's plan and purpose when He created the heavens and the earth and man and all therein? What was God's purpose? Did God create His heaven and earth and put man and just leave it? All right, and commanded Adam, and then you go and dress and keep the garden, and then you be fruitful and multiply, and then have dominion over the fishes and everything on this earth, and that's your duty. Just go, and then is that God's plan? And then when you die, right, that's finished. Everything is okay. So don't bother me anymore. And God want to do other things. Is that what is revealed to us? Is that what God's plan is? So I believe that every Christian, we have the Word of God here. And every Christian must read the Word of God and know what is God's view, the Christian view, the scriptural view concerning the world, concerning our existence here. I have chosen that passage where Jesus Christ told the dying thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." When the thief says, "Lord," he called Jesus Lord, means God, "remember me when you enter into your kingdom." Now Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, dying like him, and yet he called Jesus Lord, King, God, and yet he believed that Jesus Christ would not die like him. That Jesus Christ is dying, in other words, Jesus Christ will be alive again, will be resurrected. He's going into his kingdom, recognizing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Messiah too. And so when Jesus Christ enter into his kingdom, to remember him. So here is a believing thief and crying to the Lord, and the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." So Jesus Christ is referring that the kingdom of God is paradise. There are two other passages in the scripture that tells us about paradise too. And here you have in Revelation chapter, you find one passage is in Revelation. And then the other passage, of course, is Paul himself. And then you remember that Paul said that he was taken up in the spirit was taken up into paradise to be the spirit. So what and where is paradise? And paradise, therefore, is where the Lord Jesus Christ is. The Lord Jesus Christ told the dying thief, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise." Where Christ is in, that's paradise. When we die, we all say as Christians, when we die, we know from scriptures, absent from the body, present with the Lord, then we will be ushered up straight away into the presence of God, into paradise. And so Paul also said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, he said that, and how he was caught up into paradise. And the Apostle John in the book of Revelation also said that in Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, he says this, "To him that overcometh, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." And so you are in the presence of God again. So each time it is used in these passages, it means the presence of God. Paradise is linked, therefore, with God and with Christ. Now let us turn back to Genesis chapter 2. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 2. If you have, please turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Let us see what God really planned, what God's plan was when He first created the heavens and the earth and man and all that are therein. And so you see in verse 31 in the chapter 2 or chapter 2 verse 3, "And God blesses the seventh day and sanctify it, because it that in that day he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Then look at chapter 1, and God says, God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he male and female, and created he them. And here is what God says in verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then God had this garden, and God put Adam in and told Adam to dress it. And God created everything, and God said it was very good. And God gave one commandment. And that commandment is that you can eat the fruit from the trees. Of every tree you can eat, but except of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat. The day you eat, you shall surely die. The word is dying, you shall die. It's very emphatical, very clear. Thou shalt surely die. And God bless Adam. Wonderful. That was God's. And I believe with all my heart that it was God's plan that man should live forever. God wants, you see, what is God's purpose in creating us? What is the duty of all men, of man that God created? That man should what? Glorify him and enjoy him. He put man in that garden, created Adam for Adam to glorify him and to have dominion over all his creative creation. And then at the same time, as he sees the creation of God, he will glorify God, praise God, at the same time enjoying him to know who God is indeed. And in before Adam fell, God had this personal fellowship with men, with Adam. In chapter 3 verse 8 it says, and they heard the voice. And so when Adam sinned, and then God, it says here that God came down, you see in verse 8, and they heard the voice, that means Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You see, before Adam fell, this tells us in this verse that before Adam fell, God walked with him. Occasionally or constantly, God came down and walked and say, Adam, how are you? And also Eve. But when they sinned against God, and God already said, you sin, you shall surely die. So their eyes were opened indeed, and they felt shame because they were naked. And God came down in the cool of that morning, walked with them, and asked Adam, where are you? And Adam hid himself. So, in other words, here, before the fall, God created heaven and earth and the world and put Adam there so that he can have fellowship. He even made Eve as a helpmeet, and so that the descendants of Adam, if Adam had not sinned against God, have not broken God's commandment, we will live forever in that beautiful earth. Perfect. Where God said, it is very good. So that was God's purpose. That man live on this earth to glorify him and to enjoy him. Enjoy him is to know who he is, what he is. That's very great. Is that true? That is very true. I believe so. Let us look at the end, at the book of Revelation. At the end of it, what does the book of Revelation say? The last book. Alright, let's read it and see that this is what God's plan is. I believe with all my heart through the reading of scriptures that this is God's plan. That God wants us, God has created us to be with him, to live with him forever and ever. And that we will glorify him, we will enjoy him for all eternity. Look at verse chapter 21 and verse 1 to 6. They say, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So God is very true. In other words, this present earth and this present heavens, which as the astronomer couldn't even find the edge of this universe, this whole creation of God is going to be destroyed. According to Peter, the apostle, you were going to be destroyed by fire. But here you see in Revelation chapter 21, after the Lord Jesus Christ has returned, here he tells us the end of the age, the end of everything. God is going to create a new heaven, a new heaven, a new universe, and then a new earth, like what we know today. And then he was, see what described to us, what is this? Verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the kingdom of the heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." You see, this verse 3 here tells us about God with us and we with them, and God is our God and God will dwell with us. Right from the very beginning, Genesis, where God said, where God came down and looked for Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" God's original purpose for creating man is that man will live forever. Only one thing that God deserves, requires of man, that man loved him and so gave him that one commandment. Don't break that commandment. God said, the day you break that commandment, you shall surely die. It's God's original plan for you and me, for man to live with him forever and ever and ever, to enjoy him, glorify him. And so you have here in verse 3, towards, at the end of time, if everything is gone, it's not that God is going to destroy all of us, or send of us, all of us who are believers, just stand up and then live in heaven, walking around the clouds, as many people think, and then God doesn't care for us. It's not like that here, that God will destroy this present earth, this present heavens, and then create a new heaven and a new earth, and then God is going to put us there. We are going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever with him. God will be our God. We will die. Let's see what are the things there. And God says in verse 4 in Revelation, and God said, God shall wipe away all tears. No more, no tears. So you have eyes like this body. This, God will create this new body for us, clothe us with the body that is incorruptible, that's immortal. We have eyes, we can see, but no more what? Tears. Because there's no need for tears. Why? No tears from their eyes, for there shall be no more death. No more death. We all fear death. No, no more death. Live forever. Because God is eternal himself. When we say no more death, there's no more time and space. When we are in eternity, there's no more time and space. We don't talk about yesterday. We don't talk. When we are in eternity, when we are in this new heaven and new earth, we are going to live forever. We don't talk about yesterday. When I meet you, I don't talk about yesterday. I don't want to talk about tomorrow. I will talk about today. All the time, today, today, today. That is the new heaven. No more death. And so when there's no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying, and there shall be no more pain. All these things plague us today. And God said, in his wisdom, did not reveal more than other things except this, all these things will be gone. You know why God cannot describe everything here? It's impossible. Paul himself, God in his wisdom allowed, translated Paul to have a glimpse of paradise. And Paul came back and said that I cannot. These words cannot be described. Can't tell you. Can't tell us. So God will not. And he will not write everything about it except the things that plague us today. No tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain. The former things are all passed away. And God created a new heaven for you and me. You see, if you are like Paul, when he was translated up, he came down And later on he wrote his letters to all the churches. And he said what? Straight away he said what? Absent from the body, present with the Lord is far better. He's got caught up, he sees heaven, sees paradise, he came down. I want to go up. I am torn between two, whether to be up there or remain here. Oh, he wants to be up there. He's in paradise, he's better to be there. But then he says that, well, I'm needful to be here on this earth. So he came. He stayed on. And then he wrote, always absent in the body and present with the Lord. I believe with all my heart that if what God had given that privilege to Paul and he had given you, you also will speak the same. You will go up and then you will come down and you will say that, I don't want to come down. I want to go up there. I want to still remain there. True. True. But you be like Paul, you better when you come down, he says, I'm going to do the work, the Lord's work. Alright. And so this is paradise here. And then verse 6, and behold, he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me to John, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said, it is done. I am Alpha, Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. But what I want to draw your attention is that God told John, you write this thing. As if that John is saying that, wow, this is something too great or impossible or unbelievable. And God say, you write it, for these words are true and faithful. God cannot lie. These are true. It will happen. It will come to pass. I want to impress upon you. It will come to pass. And God has been faithful, has shown in the past that his prophecies are always true and has been fulfilled. Look at in the book of Daniel and how Nebuchadnezzar had that dream of a statue and about his empire. And then after that, his empire will be conquered by the Medo and Persian empire. And that empire later on will be conquered by the Grecian or by the Greeks. Alexander the Great will come up and then conquer that. And then many years later, also that Grecian empire or Greek empire will be conquered by Rome. This is history. Spoken many years when a dream was given to Nebuchadnezzar and Daniel interpreted that vision or dream, it happened in history. Nobody can refute them. Every word. So much so, even the liberals, those people who are skeptics and said, no, Daniel wrote that after everything. That's nonsense. God predicted every word. Now what I'm trying to say here to show that, to prove that God has shown to you and me in his word here and written in the tablets of history. You can't change history. That he is true, that his prophecy is true. It will come true. Another prophecy is regarding the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In the Old Testament, to the letter, Christ came, first Advent came. His suffering, his death, his resurrection, all true. And Christ says he's coming back again. That will be true because that's future. God, Jesus Christ cannot lie. He said, I will come back again. If I go away, I will come back again and to take you to be with me. It's true. And here in book of Revelation, here God says, write. This new heaven and new earth, it will happen. The old heaven and old earth, this present earth that we are living in, will be destroyed. And according to Peter here, will be destroyed by fire. It is true. My dear friend, it is very true. Believe it. This is your blessed hope. My blessed hope. This is what is in store for us. Aren't we excited? I mean, aren't we looking for it? Then what about this present time here? I want to say that this present time from Scripture is called the interim period. I call this the intervening period. The period between the creation at that time and then the end time. When God created Adam and Eve, everything was good, and told Adam that if you don't break this one commandment. And when Adam said that, and he broke that command, one commandment, and God said, "Thou shalt surely die." Indeed. Did Adam die? Yes. He was separated from God. The first, spiritual death. Separation from God. And the second one, physical death. Yes. And later on you'll find that the physical death is only 100, reduced 1 to 120 years. Yes, God in His mercy. If God had allowed each one of us to live longer, 200 years or 300 years or 400 years during that time, how much wickedness there will be on this earth. And there will be more suicide, I think, for this. But God in His mercy, 120 years. And so because of that, thou shalt surely die. So you have the spiritual death being separated from God. Then the physical death. After death, there's not the end of everything, but it's a judgment. And there's one more death. And that is the second death. In Revelation chapter 20, where all those whose names are not written in the book of life, who have no Jesus Christ in their life, will be cast into the lake of fire. That is the second death. So God said, "You shall surely die." But God created, and His plan was for man to live forever. And now this plan has been thwarted. What is God going to do? God is not going to allow that His creation goes in vain. And so right from the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3, He already in a veiled way say that He will be sending the Lord Jesus Christ down on earth to, in order to die, to pay for the penalty of sin. And so that you and I hear the gospel and believe, and we can be saved from that tree, from death. Spiritual death, physical death, and then delivered from the lake of fire. And so we can be with Him forever and ever and ever. God will clothe us with His righteousness and live with Him. And so this is the interim period. The interim period is the time of world evangelism. While we live on this earth, but it is God's plan. It's God's desire that you and I go and preach the gospel and tell about Jesus Christ to others. Yes, you do your work. You occupy yourself in many things. Where God has sent you, that's where you are. But wherever God has put you in, share the gospel. This is the interim period, because it's not going to last forever. God knows that when the time comes, God will tell the Lord Jesus Christ to come down. It's time for you to go out and take the people to be with you. This is the interim period. When the number, God knows the number of people, Gentiles we say, when the number is full and Christ, that's the end of this age. When Christ will come and then set His kingdom 1,000 years on this planet here. And after that, the destruction of everything, and God created a new heaven and new earth. This is your plan. I hope this is the Christian worldview. The Christian worldview is this, that we will live forever. God has created us to live forever, that this present earth will not keep on existing, will keep on functioning non-stop. It will not. It will end at one time. And when will it end? When Christ comes. And then after the millennium kingdom, the 1,000 years kingdom, God is going to destroy this present earth. The trouble with many of us is that sometimes we don't believe it. You look at Singapore, so well developed and developing some more. So they are going to build the fourth terminal already, airport terminal. It's already on the drawing board, as the newspaper said. It's on the drawing board. Maybe the third casino or integrated resort may be coming up. We have to. And look at all the other countries. Well, now it is a period of recession. Oh, man will try his very best how to get out of that recession, to build themselves out. And so that the world will function more, will increase and be wealthy, and man can live on earth peaceably forever and ever and ever, or keep on functioning all the time. If they die, never mind. The ones who comes after them will take over, and it will be like that. It will not be like that. The Christian view is not. It's going to stop. It's going to finish. And you and I, who are Christians, whose names are written in the book of life, will be with God in the new heaven and new earth forever. This must be your thinking, your belief. This is what is recorded here. So we must. If that is so, how ought we to live in this world? How? I think the obvious is that we should live accordingly. I think Christ says that you occupy yourselves, okay. But what you need to know, when you know what your responsibility is, God says that Jesus Christ says, go ye and preach the gospel. Yes, individually we share the gospel of Christ. Corporately as a church here, yes, we go out. We support one another. Either through some people give their lives to, some people support by our hands and feet, by our strength, and some have substance to support this, all for the advancement of God's kingdom, that many, many people more may come to believe in Jesus Christ. Someone will say that, hasten the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the number can be full completely, and God says, now is the time, and then the day of our redemption. We should be. Question is, why aren't we? Why aren't we? If now you know this truth, that this is God's plan, eternal plan, why aren't you and me, or and I, do the work of God? Why are we very slow? Prayer meeting, very few people come. Church, we even don't care for inviting people to come. We just only come ourselves. Why? There are work outside. We meet friends. Do we share with them the gospel or not? Are we excited? We are happy enough to come to church. Are we helping one another? Saying good things about one another. Helping one another. Building one another up. Why aren't we? If I believe that what God has said here, what I've got said this morning here, this is the truth, then it should transform my life. It should change my life. And knowing that this is what is good for me, this is what God has intended for me, then I must transform, change my life. Because my life here on this earth is just but 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 years, or a given 120 years. And you know that towards the end of your 120 years, you'll be many who have lived for 120 years, you see. So very weak physically. That is natural to happen that way. But how? Life is so short, isn't it? And when we compare this with eternity, we are not going to talk about yesterday. We are not going to talk about tomorrow. We are going to talk about today. And therefore, we should look forward to that day. We should look forward. And this truth should comfort us, to set us free from everything. If people say bad things about me, I should listen, open my ears here and out that way. Don't worry about it and just carry on, do my work. Tell the person, I love you. Finish. Don't get angry. You get angry, also no use. In fact, it will be worse for your body. And so don't do all those kinds of things. If this is the truth, then I want to do the will of God. I want to change my life. And then where God bless me, I know what to do with all my substance. Why aren't we doing this? Because of unbelief. That's the only reason. Maybe some of you seated there don't know true or not. Oh yeah? Oh yeah? Did God say that? You see? This very familiar question. Oh yeah? Yes, it is true. God cannot lie. It is true. Some of you, are you saying? No lah, cannot be lah. Then you study the Word of God. I've shown you. You read the Word of God. It is true. Then you must change. You must be believing. Why aren't you not going to prayer meeting? Because of unbelief. Not because of anything else. Because you don't believe what is God said here. You mean it is like that? So wonderful? Yes. It is so wonderful. Yes, it is. Then we have to change. And the reason we want to change, because of unbelief. So let us be believing. and do what you need to do. Change. Your life must change. Your thinking must change. When the world says that, no, the world will carry on and on and on, eat and drink and be merry, never mind, tomorrow you die and that's the end of everything, you must say no, no, and no, 3 times. When you die, there's judgment. No. And you tell them, no, God doesn't want you to die. He wants you to be saved. God has created all of us to live eternally. Even the non-Christian will be cast into the lake of fire, be tormented forever and ever. That's the book of Revelation. Forever and ever in the lake of fire. Even the non-Christian, even the unbelieving. And you who have, Christ has come and He saved you, you are converted, you are a Christian, you should be believing and let this truth transform and change your life. And the way you can order your life in such a manner is all for the glory and honor of God. I speak to you all of you here above. You are a Christian, this is what should be. This should strengthen your faith. If you are not, then this truth is for you too. This is what God has created you for. And God wants you to come to believe in Him. Repent of your sin. Accept that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, for your sins, to pay for the penalty of your sins. And then when you receive Christ into your heart, you'll be delivered from the lake of fire. You'll be reconciled to God. And then your physical death, because this is the interim period, you have to die now here until Christ comes. But when you die here, you are absent from the body, you are present with the Lord. And when Christ comes, your body will be resurrected. Again, your spirit and body will be together one more time. Now the body is immortal, incorruptible. And God created the new heavens and new earth for you and me. Do you believe? Will you not believe? Why don't you want to believe? You should. Because God loves you. And God loves you and me too. And let us do things that will please Him. There's an end of this world. There's an end. Remember that. If this world is not, the earth is not going to rotate round its axis forever. The earth is not going round the sun forever. One day it will stop. How? By fire. It will be just destroyed. One big bang, explosion, bam, finish. And God, by His word, let there be the new earth and new heaven. And you are there. Father in heaven, we thank you. Thank you for your word. And we pray, Father, that this truth will remain in our hearts, in our minds, and transform and change us, and that we will not be unbelieving. Help us, Lord, to overcome our unbelief. We pray, give us courage and strength, and transform and change us to be what you want us to be. We thank you, Father, for your plan for us. We thank you that you did everything. And pray, Father, all that we need is to come to you with Him in humility, repent and accept Christ into our heart, and live the life that you want us to live. This we pray, asking things in Jesus' name. Amen.